Guys, welcome to Game Chat this week, where we are talking about The Walking Dead, A New Frontier, or as I said last week, The Walking Dead, A Final Frontier. It's Walking Dead, A New Frontier. And we're talking about Chapter 1. So I guess we'll go start with introductions as usual. So I want you to tell your name from the top, as well as, because one of the characters in this chapter, only this chapter, had a Walkman that she was listening to music on at some time. So I thought it'd be a cool question to, that if you were stuck in the zombie apocalypse and only had one cassette tape, because this was a Walkman, I think, only had one cassette tape to have in your Walkman of a certain artist or band, who would that artist or band be? Starting with Franco. Well,
this is Franco. Mm-hmm. And if I don't know, if I ran into a cassette store, I'd have to, an abandoned cassette store, I'd have to look for like the greatest complete unabridged works of Beethoven. How about that?
good. And it doesn't have to be artists that would be on a cassette tape, because that's kind of dating it back a bit. It could be a newer artist if they could be on a cassette tape. So, next.
I didn't think about present day artists.
Oh no! So, I messed up your whole algorithm.
My default is I'm just gonna say a solid Beach Boys cassette.
Okay.
As long as it has Kokomo on it.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Okay, next.
My name is Madeline, and I would have to pick probably the album In Silico by Pendulum.
Ooh.
Most of that would be good for knocking some zombie heads together.
Nice. Okay. Next.
Kevin, and so it's a cassette tape that you'd have in the zombie apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
Probably something from Green Day or maybe Tool, I guess.
Nice. And next?
This is Chris, and I think it would probably either be Weird Al's Running with Scissors or Straight Outta Linwood.
I have to. Ooh, it's a second, close second for me. There
yeah.
That's great. Nice. This is Steph, and I think I'm going to go along with Franco and say, I mean, I don't know if I would limit it to Beethoven, but, like, if I had, like, a nice cassette tape of, like, you know, some, like, top classical pieces, that would be great. That'd be great. I think that would do well with kind of mellowing me out in between zombie raids.
Nope. Yeah, we'd have to appeal for two tapes. One for downtime and one for zombie bashing.
Yeah. That'd be good too. A side,
B side.
There you go. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Madeline took the words right out of my mouth. So again, welcome guys. Thanks for being here. Again, we're talking about the first chapter of The Walking Dead, A New Frontier, which is the third season of The Walking Dead series. Which is done by Telltale and was released back in 2016. Just a really quick, I guess, intro. I mean, we kind of left off Clementine because in season two, we played as Clementine. Left off Clementine. You made a pretty big decision at the end of season two. You could have either, and spoilers alert, you could have either killed Kenny and went with Jane. Was it kill Jane?
Mm-hmm.
Let
Kenny kill Jane and then go with Kenny, or go off on your own adventure with baby AJ. I won't go into too much before that. That was pretty much the big decision. And the game starts us out not with Clementine, but with Javi and his family, right kind of on the cusp of the zombie apocalypse, I would fall. Say. Yeah, the fall. So a few things happened. Like in the very beginning, the grandfather has died. Javi was trying to get in from wherever he was in this, you know, in another area of the city or somewhere. But of course, all the roads were blocked from the devastation. And so it took him a while to get there. By the time he got to his house, his grandfather was dead. And the family just completely blamed him for not being there when the grandfather died. Laid the blame pretty heavy. While he's there, grandfather turns. And so they end up having, and bites his, well, no, it's not his. It's his dad, right? It's his dad.
Yeah, it's his dad. Dad. He bites his
dad. It's his dad that dies. And turns, ends up biting his mom in the cheek. So then they have to take her to the hospital. That's where we assume they take her. And then it fades to quote unquote present day. So I guess first of all, I know a couple of you, because we have, for those listening, we have our regulars here. Submit questions, after playing for things to discuss. And two or three of you mentioned the graphics, that you noticed a noticeable change in the graphics quality. Like it was like the texture, like it seemed like the textures were better, more detailed. But then the lining was still there. So a few of you had. So what did you guys think about the graphics for this season so far?
One thing with the people, the one person that was with them, the like older guy, but was their uncle.
Right.
And then the father was on it.
Right. Yeah.
I think the graphics change kind of screwed with the shader thing that kind of does that comic booky look.
Cell shading.
Yes. Well, I'm not sure if that is, but yeah, whatever.
It's still considered cell shading, that style.
But yeah, it kind of made it a little bit weird and glitchy looking compared to how it was in the previous games, where the characters had a more comic book feel to them.
Okay, fair. Anyone else have opinions on it?
I thought it was, I mean, it was a different, it was a change. It was noticeable. Whether it was for the better, it's like six of one, half dozen the other. It just seemed, I was just wondering to myself as I was playing, that the graphics change cause, you know, it just, is it me or is everybody, when you move really slow. Everything's, seems like, you're walking in mud.
Did you not hit the run button?
Yeah, but even the run button, you just break into a slight jog.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I didn't notice that. No.
Yeah. Maybe it's me.
Yeah,
it might be me. Yeah, well, I need to drink more coffee when I'm playing, I guess. I don't know.
To me, that's just like, I don't know, it felt like a Telltale game,
right?
So, I mean, I'm not arguing with any of those points, but I'm just like, I didn't notice the graphical change, but that's probably because it's been probably a couple years since I played season two,
yeah.
And the last Telltale game I played was I think Batman season two, so that's much more like similar. This art style. So
I guess go ahead, Madeline.
Oh, sorry. I felt like they changed the lighting some also as mm-hmm. well, mm-hmm. but they kept all the same facial emotes programmed in.
Mm.
So anytime anybody makes the oh my gosh face, I always see Lee. You're doing the Lee face.
Oh no!
So it's so painful.
Yeah, I definitely noticed it. It kind of reminded me of. I mean, I didn't not like it. I mean, I didn't. I liked it, I should say. And it didn't. I mean, I definitely noticed it, but it didn't bother me in any way. It kind of reminded me of, because I do art, and it kind of remind me, like, because sometimes I like to put a lot of heavy outlines, like a lot of heavy, like dark lining, black lining on my pieces. And sometimes I go way too far with it. And then I'll look at it after doing that and be like, wow, that's a lot of black lining. That's kind of what I felt with this, was I was like, yeah, there's a lot of black outlines around a lot of things, like in a lot of weird creases and a lot of not to the point that it was like, this really bothers me, but it was, I did notice it.
Happy Inktober.
Yeah, it is. It's Inktober. So
some of all of this might have been just the result of crunch time at Telltale Studios.
Oh, that hurts. So did you guys notice any, I guess we can put this with control differences. One thing that I noted with kind of like the gameplay style with this one was that, or at least, and this might just be me, but it seemed like, and this is saying a lot because it's a Telltale game. There's, I mean, I love them, but there's not a lot to do. Like, you're basically hitting E and Q a bunch of times and the arrow buttons, and clicking spaces for them to walk in certain areas. But it seemed like almost in this one, like there was even less to do. Like, it seemed like that there was even less to like interact. I wasn't like it seemed like in the last one, like you were like, you would have to press E a lot or press Q a lot. I think you did maybe a couple times in this one, but even then it seemed very spread out of like pressing E and pressing Q. And then also it seemed like it was very lenient with the arrows this time, like compared to the last season. That the arrows stayed longer, which I guess, I don't know, like it felt like it took out any and all complication, like any and all difficulty. Yeah, like, but this, it was just handing it to me.
This game feels a lot more on rails compared to the other ones, and some of the parts of it, I was super annoyed, because it's like the crawling under the house, where you go under the house and you crawl like a total of like 2 feet, and then you go and open up the thing. And it's like, what was the point of that? There's nothing else under there to interact with aside from the trap door. Do you do this whole crazy thing for me to walk like 2 feet and not even like be able to freely crawl around? I can go back and forth. I even checked, because I was looking up something that I was talking about Madeline with, and I was looking at gameplay for future chapters, and I couldn't find much gameplay of them actually doing stuff that wasn't them like interacting in like a chat scene. This whole season seems like it's gonna be like that.
The other thing too is like, I felt like the episodes are a lot shorter.
Well, yeah, this episode was,
and it's just like, because, you know, I'm playing and then the episode ends and I'm like, it feels like I got more gameplay out of, you know, the first season than I did with this one, because it was just like within a half an hour and you're done basically.
I think it was funny, about an hour and a half, but yeah, it was quicker compared to usually they were like 3 hours long. What were you saying, Franco?
I was the first part of this, you know, the table setting, you know, it just sort of lulled me to sleep. I'm totally botched almost the first quick time event, because I was like, I wasn't even looking at my controller. It was like, I was like, you know, oh, okay, go get some gas here. Get some gas there, you know, and
a lot of this felt like kind of like non-interactive cutscenes, like in the beginning when you got to the house, thought like, hey, we're gonna go be able to walk around the house. And it's like, no, you don't. You're gonna go and watch a cutscene and make some, and maybe do some quick time events or some chat decisions, but that's about it. You don't get to like walk around the house and like look at whatever's in the house.
I felt a lot of like the junkyard scenes, I felt a little more like fillerish, you know, like more like I was trying to remember. I'm like, did the other ones have this, or am I just like being critical of it after the fact? Because it was like you go to a car and like you click go to this car, and then it does like he has to shuffle to get in the right spot. Cuts the cutscene. He's like, wow, I would have liked to have this car way back when. And right. Then cut back, and I'm like, that. I was like,
that was it.
It was like, I feel like there's a lot of that, especially the junkyard, where I'm like, okay, that was.
No, I think it was much. Yeah, I think it was definitely different with this one. And just like I enjoyed playing the chapter, but I definitely noticed these things as well. I don't think there were any other like gameplay differences from the second season other than just not a lot to do. I felt the conversations felt pretty the same, I think.
Yeah.
The decisions, I mean, your like basic conversation with people. So in this season, at least for this first chapter, I haven't played ahead past the first chapter or watched anything, so I have no idea what happens later on. In this chapter, which is really interesting because when the chapter started and it showed Javi's family, and I was like, oh, this is, this will tie back to Clementine in some way. Like, I'll cut back to Clementine and play as her, but it never did. Like, I kept expecting it until I saw Clementine. And then I was like, oh no, like, we don't play as Clementine. This is crazy. But then I'm like, well, we didn't play as Clementine the first game either. We were Lee. And then the second game we play as Clementine. So I guess I just kind of expected to play as Clementine in this one. And so it was kind of a throw off to be like, because I kept expecting for it to switch over to her, but it never did. How did you guys feel about that? Did you guys want to play as Clementine, or were you okay ruling with Javi and his family?
I liked Javi. Like I kind of like just the opening segment, even though you didn't do anything, it was all cutscene basically. But I mean, I was intrigued to see what was happening to him. And then like after the opening scene, it like fast forwards X amount of time. And it's like, oh, it's just him, the sister-in-law, the kids. It's like, it's obviously, it was like, that was a little bit jarring. I was like, oh, I kind of would have liked to see, more of what, but then I was like, okay, I get it. And then when Clementine came, it was one of those, like, I know it was supposed to be like this big reveal moment, but it's like, yeah, I knew Clementine's what this series is about.
She's going to be
somewhere. So I mean, I liked Javi, but at the same time, it's like, we're all here for Clementine.
Yeah.
Right. And then when they do the flashback scenes with Clementine, I was thinking about this after the fact, it seems a bit jarring because it's like we've been playing as Javi, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden it's not even like her telling him what's happening. No. It's just like all of a sudden, here's the thing that makes you come back. Here's a connected gameplay from your last game.
Yeah.
Like, here's where your choice mattered, quote unquote, in this one scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. That.
I'm wondering, did it make a difference? Because, I mean, what I got was she's alone with AJ, going through the woods, ends up hunting a rabbit, zombies come on them.
Okay, well,
feel like this is giving a sort of outside perspective on a character that you spent a entire season working with. Like the first season you played as Lee, and you got bits and pieces of Clementine. Mm-hmm. You didn't get Clementine's full experience.
Right.
And the second season you're Clementine the whole time, and now you're getting another outside perspective on Clementine and how she is as a person, and how she's changed and what's happened with her, and not like fully using her as a vehicle. So I think it's kind of cool perspective. But I understand people being upset that, hey, I can't play as Clementine. I love Clementine.
Yeah. No, yeah, no, that's a good perspective. And that actually hit me after the initial of like, oh, I'm not going to switch over to Clementine. Like, this is hobby. And then that did kind of dawn on me of like, okay, well, this is a nice, and or not a nice, but an interesting outside perspective on Clementine, who, you know, we kind of grew to love in the second game.
I have a theory.
No, go ahead.
Which I don't necessarily like agree with as a direction.
Yeah.
But when we first meet Clementine, she's gotten a tree to fall in the middle of the road to run, mm-hmm. you know, to stop the 18-wheeler that they were driving in, because she mm-hmm. wanted the vehicle, and then she was gonna steal it or kill the people that were inside, basically, to take the truck.
Yeah. Yeah.
And based on our experiences from Clementine in the first and the second game, that is really intense to get us to play as Clementine to do that.
Yeah.
To be able to make those decisions. And mm-hmm. so the storytellers were like, well, we're just not going to talk about the parts of Clementine's life where she had to become that person, or you're only going to get it in like little bitty flashbacks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're just going to have to be happy with that, because we don't want to actually do the storytelling work.
Sure.
To get her to this point.
Yeah.
It's also, you're also seeing the fact that she isn't actually traveling around with AJ, and you're like,
where's the baby?
Which is making me wonder, are we going to, you know, this first chapter, all our choices were as Javier. Are all of our choices this game going to be as Javier?
Yes.
Interesting.
Oh. Spoiler. Yes. Oh. You play as Javi the whole game.
Well, he plays Clementine. Thanks for playing, guys. Can I have a nice
time? I think he plays Clementine in a few flashbacks. But I Googled it.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask for Stanton too, because Stanton had played it. So.
Yeah, I won't say anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm okay with playing as Javi, because I find it, like, I do find it interesting that, like, we're getting a guarded view of Clementine as she's, like, older and much more cynical, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's, like, it makes you, like, wonder, like, oh, what's happened since the last game? But then, to me, the flashbacks kind of take me out of it. Like, I really wish the flashbacks, like, they had just, like, had, like, a story element of, like, maybe Javier, like, saw the AJ tattoo on her wrist and, like asked a question or something. I feel like they should have gone all in on Javier or all in on Clementine, but they've kind of gone this middle ground of, like, you're playing as Javier, but here's a little bit of Clementine to keep it happy.
Yeah, that's true. So do you guys, of what we know so far about what we've seen of Clementine, do you think that it seems like a reasonable jump to where she is from where we left her in the second season? Like, does she seem believable?
I think so, personally.
I think so. You kind of, no matter what you did, you still ended up kind of turning her into a somewhat more darker person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, even from the first game to the second game, she changed pretty dramatically.
Yeah, for sure.
You know.
For sure. So going to what Franca brought up earlier that I kind of blew past. So, you know, we see Clementine's, we see a flashback when we get to the town. What is it? Providence?
Prescott.
Nathan Prescott.
Oh boy, Prescotts are everywhere. Holy goodness.
The press card caused the zombie apocalypse. I solved the mystery, guys.
Mind blown. So we see a flashback. So the flashback depends mostly on what your decision was at the end of season two. My flashback, I'll start, since I chose to go with Jane and shoot Kenny. We were at kind of a campfire, right, Jonathan? We were at a campfire.
Yeah.
Jane was, we were inside of a house. We were inside of a house.
In mine, it was, you were at like a campfire stove kind of thing outside of the old shopping center where they went back to.
Okay. But she walked in somewhere at the end. Like she walked inside. Yeah, because Jane was very depressed-ish, kind of, she seemed. And I noticed immediately, Jonathan, and maybe you did too, like her stature size. Like she seemed like she wasn't as like pixie, you know, as pixie little as what she was in season two. And I was like, oh, that's interesting to like have her gain weight during the zombie apocalypse. I'm not too sure about that. I was just like, that's, and it just kept catching my eye. And so then Clementine, I think, goes to sleep, wakes up the next morning or takes a nap or does something.
Jade says she's going to go rest, and she tells Clementine to take AJ and check the perimeter. And then once Clementine's finished checking the perimeter, she goes inside looking for Jane.
Yes. And Jane has hung herself. Clementine finds a pregnancy test on the floor that's positive.
Oh my God.
So she was pregnant.
It was my boyfriend's baby.
Do pregnancy tests have an expiration date?
I don't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they do.
Wait, so would it be possible that she could have gotten a false positive?
I have no idea, Kevin.
But it seems like the character design would indicate that she was actually pregnant.
Yeah, there was some weight gain there. So, I mean, I can only assume. At the end of chapter two, not only like when you go with Jane, you also have the option of letting a family into this compound that you find. And if they did mention that letting the family in, the family ended up stealing all their food and running away.
Wow.
I think you don't let them in, they still break in and steal your stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which I feel like that's kind of lazy writing. It's like, oh, yeah, we had that last choice at the end.
Oh, for sure.
We need to mention that.
And they just ended up taking the food and go. It's okay.
Yeah.
So going off of that, what happened if you stayed? Did anyone stay with Kenny at the end of chapter two?
So I left Kenny at the settlement there, whatever it's called.
Mm.
And then second time playing, I went with Kenny, but I haven't replayed New Frontier yet. So I'm not sure exactly what happens. But with the settlement, basically you come back and you're there, and I believe you get woken up, or like these people come and you're pretty much told that, you know, grab your stuff and just run. And I think you meet up with a couple of the settlement dwellers later on, as you've, you know, escaped the current settlement. So
okay, so that happens. Was that the going alone option? Did everyone that went alone get that same flashback?
I got the alone hunting rabbits scene.
Yep.
Well, no, it wasn't alone. It was going to that settlement and leaving Kenny behind. So I was still in the settlement on the flashback.
Okay.
So it's like if you let Kenny kill Jane, but then didn't leave with Kenny.
Yeah.
Right.
Or left with Kenny and then stayed at the settlement, and Kenny walked off.
Because the settlement would only let off the settlement would only let in Clementine and AJ. They wouldn't let Kenny in.
I got
you. Okay, so apparently, I'm watching right now. Apparently, if you go with Kenny, it starts out with Kenny has apparently taught Clementine how to drive because they're driving a car, or Clementine's driving a car. AJ's happily in the back seat. Kenny's in the passenger seat talking with her. Seems cheery enough, happy enough. And then something about a car wreck. Kenny seems to... Oh, no. Kenny's still alive. Clementine goes for AJ and runs away. Because I think Kenny's, like, hurt.
Or, like, going to turn if he dies kind of thing.
Yeah, his legs hurt really bad, it looks like, from the car wreck. Yeah, so you basically leave Kenny behind, still alive, but to get AJ out.
He becomes a zombie distraction.
Yes. So he could have gotten eaten by zombies, but we don't know.
He most likely gets eaten by zombies. Or just burns to a crisp. I mean, and then gets eaten by zombies.
I mean, to keep him alive would mean more writing. So
exactly. Yeah.
It's playing this. I mean, knowing what we now know about Telltale itself, it's interesting how it's kind of like shape. Like for me, it's shaping my thought processes of what. Going on. I'm like, okay.
I can see that. Yeah.
I understand why it looks like I've killed the same zombie 5 times.
Yeah, another cost-cutting
measure. Yeah.
That one with no hand keeps crawling out from under him.
Exactly. I meant to mention that earlier. It was like that. Like, how many times did that zombie got around?
Pretty sure I've killed you before.
Yeah. Yeah.
So did. I guess everybody eventually come to the rabbit hunting scene, or no?
Oh, no, that's the alone flashback. If you choose to let Kenny kill Jean, and then abandon, kill Kenny, or kill Kenny, and then abandon Jean afterwards.
So nobody else lost a finger?
Clementine and Alvin Jr., they're traveling on train tracks, and she's hunting a rabbit. And then Alvin Jr. decides to go and make, like,
Goo-goo noises,
like, rabbit! And then the rabbit's like, I'm gonna hop away! And then she's like, and then you have the choice to tell AJ, like, that's dinner! Like, that's food! Or, like, shut the heck up! then you go and you find a car, you put AJ in the car and tell him to stay put. And then, like the toddler he is, starts crying. You go to go and shoot the rabbit, who hops up to its mother.
You're like, oh no!
And then all of a sudden, you hear zombies banging against the car, and you're like, oh no, AJ! So you go. Oh, no, so metaphors. She goes, runs over to the car, and shoots the zombies. And I think one of them either bangs on the door or like falls on the door, and her hand gets jammed in the door and breaks one of her fingers.
Mm-hmm. So she has to badass kill it with a stone with her off. Well, I guess it's her right hand, but like right handed over herself, smack the zombie in the head while her left hand is still
trapped in the door.
Shut in the door.
Yeah.
Oh, bless her heart.
Wow. Wow.
So somehow she's able to amputate her finger and safely, I guess, seal the wound. Not die of tetanus.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, with a toddler.
My Clementine has all 10 fingers.
Hey, no, we have all 10. We just have a missing...
9.5, okay?
More like 9 3/4. It was more of like the top bit of her finger got cut off.
My Clementine has 11 fingers.
Well, now.
Wow.
How did she gain the fingers?
It's a plus side of zombie apocalypse.
Did she, steal Jane's finger or like Kenny's finger?
It's all that radiation.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. This isn't Fallout.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so focus. Going into covering some of the big quote unquote bigger choices of chapter one. So like when you get to when Javi and his little family get to the junkyard, you kind of break into this house. This little what do you call it, a house? Like a trailer.
Trailer, yeah.
And there's a bunch of food there. So I know the kids want to take some food. They find some pudding, which the kids are really excited about. But then the question comes up on whether you should stay the night in this random trailer you found in the middle of a junkyard that obviously someone's been staying in, because there's like open cans, there's like a mattress, but the kids are like, no, we want to stay here overnight. So you can either decide to stay the overnight or to keep moving, which I don't know if you actually decide to stay the overnight, if you stay there or if someone argues you out of it. I decided that we should keep moving because it seemed like
you don't have a choice either way, because if you decide to stay, whatchamacallit,
the quote-unquote bad guys.
Yeah, you get interrupted.
No, well, they show up, but your
Mariana,
your sister-in-law.
Okay.
Kate. Is saying to like ends up telling you, well, we should stay.
Okay.
And then gives you the candy bar.
So it's just for argument's choice. Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
Your choices don't matter.
So we had
illusion.
Going along, so did everyone just decide to move on? Like, was there a reasoning you decided not to stay there overnight, or that you decided to stay there? Even
I decided to stay.
Okay.
Because I was the good cop. Desperate for the children's adulation, so I decided to say. But I knew I could tell that, oh boy, this is a trap. Mm-hmm. But said, okay, let's stay. So I got the candy bar and, you know.
I just figured it seemed like people were living there. So I was like, I don't want to stay here if someone's gonna come back. And they did.
I like how they were like, you took our gas. It's like, you guys should have taken that gas years ago.
So
if like you guys could have found something to pry off the gas cap.
For sure. That was a good point. So a
question... put a lock on that hatch at the bottom of your trailer.
Why aren't you defending your home base?
A question that's interesting is that, like, so later on when you get to Prescott, Javi tells Trip that the people back at the junkyard are bad people, quote unquote bad people. From what you know of these people, not going into what happens at the end of the episode, from what you know these people at this time, like, do you think that they were bad people just because, I mean, they didn't really do anything when they found, I mean, they threatened, but it was also their place. Javi and his family were intruding upon their space. What do you guys think about that?
What I find weird is the fact that there's only one bed, but there's like four of them.
Maybe they all sleep in the same bed. No judging.
They all sleep in the cars.
Moving on.
I thought they were iffy at best, and based on what Clementine said, I mean, she's had mixed relations with them. So it's sort of like a waypoint on a trip. It's not a place to stop.
Okay.
I think the leader, like the gang leader who was like the main one accusing you, I think he seemed pretty unstable. But like the guy you were in the trailer with, he was like being reasonable. Like he's like, man, just calm down. Just, you know. And then I proceeded to like hit him upside the head.
I thought you were talking about Prescott.
No, the
people that hold you up.
Oh, the junkyard people. No, they were.
Yeah, the junkyard people.
They were off the walls.
But, yeah, the gang, the bad guy, leader looked like the bald guy from Home Alone.
He does. He does, but that's not his fault. I didn't think they were bad when I met them. I was like, you are right. Like, clearly, we yeah. are in your business.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like if I had my family out here, y'all would be a lot more, like, understanding. And, like, they're like, it's not going to be like last time. So, like, they've had something like this yeah. happen before. And they felt like they were taken advantage of. So yeah. I like we can that's some place we can have a conversation.
Yeah.
And then
I do think there was probably a little bit too many zombies with crowbars stuck in their head roaming around their living space, but that's just me.
Yeah.
How are they gonna survive on pudding?
Kept them busy.
Hey,
don't judge them. They like to sleep.
Man cannot survive on pudding alone.
They like to sleep on one mattress and they like to eat pudding for dinner. It's fine. It's fine.
It's a hard life out there.
I would have told them, listen, A, the gate was open. Nobody's here. What am I supposed to think?
There's also, I mean, they also had candy bars. I mean, Kate found that candy bar somewhere out there. I mean, so they have a Willy Wonka stash back there.
It's a child trap. It's the Could child be? Catcher.
Whoa. Yeah.
It could be. Probably could have set it up like that. You know, it could be a trap.
Moving on. so another interesting decision is you have a choice on whether to let the driver go after the car crash or to... Like, you can shoot him, or you can let him go. What did everyone choose?
Oh, I shot him.
I let him.
Oh.
I initially chose to let him go, and then I just wanted to choose the what happens if you shoot him option. So I went back and shot him.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't affect anything not really specifically.
Except for, like, what Clementine says.
Right. Attitude in the following conversation, according to the site. But, yeah, I did not shoot him. I didn't think... I always tried to put myself in that person's head space, and I was like, I don't think that... If I was controlling Clementine, she might have shot him. Javi, I don't think at this point that he would have. I didn't.
And like I don't think they were part of the good people because it seems like the people that were in that settlement were part of the whole big new frontier thing that we learn about later on.
I probably shot him. I mean, in my mind I was thinking like I was just kidnapped. I'm worried about my family. I also just, you know, hit the guy in the trailer upside the head with the crowbar. But then also when you wake up in the truck and he's driving you and you start asking questions and he's like, be quiet or else I'm going to punch you or whatever he says. Anyways, you have an option to say something.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to do what he says and be quiet. And so I didn't say anything. And then he goes, and it still says the same. He's like, quit talking, blah, 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 blah. And then the wreck happened. And I was like, I didn't say anything. And so that was...
Win for losing. It's okay.
Oh, boy. Great programming.
Yeah, so I think out of spite, I was like, no, I'm shooting you.
Oh, my gosh. So when you get to, or the next big decision, when you get to Prescott, Clementine's, you know, she goes straight, you know, to talk to this dude over to the side in the bar. And it turns out that she, like, because he had sold her, that's right, he had sold her faulty bullets because she tried to shoot after you first met her, tried to shoot her gun and it didn't go off. Or just kind of sparked like some kind of like toy gun.
That's
fine.
I noticed that when, because at least in mine, I don't know about your guys, but But like when you tried to get into Prescott, there was a bunch of zombies outside
at the gate.
Mm-hmm. And like they wouldn't let you in until you got rid of all the zombies.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
that's when Clementine's gun
working.
Yeah, his weapons fail.
And so, you know, she sees the guy that sold her the bullets. She goes straight for him in the bar. You know, is confronting him. Javi goes, you know, Clementine's arguing with him. Is demonstrating the bullets in her gun, like that didn't work, aiming it at him and shooting, and it just misfires. But then, as things get more heated,
not so faulty bullets, eh?
The bullet in the round is not faulty. That accidentally goes off and shoots him straight into the head. Which Clementine acts surprised about, which I would guess that she is. And so then Clementine tells you to go along with her, you know, just say that she was defending herself.
He attacks Javi with a knife, or like Javi steps in front of him.
Yes.
He was attacking you and she was defending you.
Yes. So she just asked you to elaborate the story a bit. Or your other choice was to say it was an accident, which to me that's more, I don't know, just from what I was seeing, that was more of the truth that because she didn't expect it to go off. So what did you guys choose? Did you guys go along with Clementine's story or did you
say
it was an accident?
I told the truth that it was just an accident.
I lied.
Jonathan, you're making bad decisions. There's no, it's fine. It's fine.
After a good minute, I stuck with Clementine. I said, yeah, the guy attacked us.
Okay.
I don't know why.
That's fine.
I felt that was the better way to go at that time.
For sure. For sure.
I think I went with Clementine as well. Because you never know. She might have had another gun and would have pulled that out.
That's true. But Javi doesn't know her past. So,
well, yeah, but you're the also, I mean, at that point, it's like the only person you know in this new place is
Clementine. Yeah.
So, really know her?
The people in the new place.
At that point, yeah, no.
Well, she didn't shoot you in the head.
Yeah.
So,
all she's done is hold you at gunpoint for 6 hours while you walk to the press conference.
Yeah, for sure.
Walk beside her.
And plus, people, like, Trip seemed fine. Trip seemed okay. Like, the people mostly seemed all right, except for the bullets guy. He seemed a little questionable, but...
Yeah, we were making great progress at the bar. We were playing poker. We were, you know...
Oh, see, I didn't recognize that. What?
You didn't get...
Wait, you didn't play poker. You walk up to the bar and...
Oh, that's right. You help her with poker. You help her with her.
Yeah, you help her with poker. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
And the guy recognizes you as a minor league baseball player.
Baseball player. That's right.
Yeah, Hobby's I'm not sure. Yeah.
I would assume minor leagues.
He's a failed baseball player.
Which makes sense.
What was the story?
Well, I think it was like he like gambled or did...
Oh, that's
he did something illegal and got kicked out. And he betted on himself.
Oh, and,
which
he's Pete Rose.
That's great.
Which then, I mean,
so cocky.
It makes sense. Like it brings back, you know, why his like brother was mad in the opening scene.
Yeah.
Because it was like basically like he was the big league, like or I don't know, like he was the one with the career, a baseball career. He's a pro player, and then he went and blew it.
Yeah.
While everyone else has to work for
nothing but a screw up kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you had life served to you on a golden platter and then you ruined it and then you weren't here for dad's death.
You know,
so
that's context to it. Yeah.
So I was like, hey, we're finally finding out more about Javi. And then it's like, oh, okay. Never mind.
Keep on going. He's wearing a baseball jersey. I mean, he is wearing a baseball jersey. I noticed that's his clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what? So that kind of brings to mind, like, what? So do you guys like playing Javi? What we know so far, like, do you trust him? Like, do you think that he's a good character? Do you think that he has a bit of like a little darkness to him?
I think.
I mean, even though I played him super dark, I think he's good. He's a good guy.
John's like shooting everyone. He's fine.
I think at the beginning of the episode, he was probably still borderline messed up, you know, still like kind of a semi irresponsible kind of kid still. But I think what transpired, you know, with the zombie thing is probably straightened about and, you know, got him to a better place, so to speak. So yeah. That's where I thought he was at this point, you know.
He seemed really naive as far as like the kinds of decisions that were like even given to you as an option.
Yeah, that's true.
As far as like where we were in like how many years this thing has been going on.
Right.
I could see that.
Like,
that's true.
Really? You're going to decide that it might be an okay to like stay in somebody else's hideout?
Yeah.
Or like, I don't know. It just.
Yeah, the entire family seemed that way. The entire family seemed very, I guess,
like, yeah, let's smoke weed while the kids are asleep in the back of the car.
Yeah.
She was really bad at smoking weed.
Like, okay,
she's like, I'm gonna go secretly go light one up.
Mm-hmm. I hope
the kids don't find out I'm smoking weed.
Yeah, the entire family seemed very like they had been sheltered. Like, I'd be interested to see like what happened up to this point with the family, because as Madeline said, it's a good point, is that they seemed very naive about things and not very hardened as opposed to Clementine and anyone Clementine has been around.
Yep.
Yeah, they've been, come to mention it, they've been around for like insinuate at least a couple of years.
Yeah,
the kids have aged some.
Yeah,
and they don't have any weapons. Mm-hmm. They don't have any
The first son had a gun on his waist.
Even real? Are these people
on his hip? They're
all on Clementine's head. That's the big twist.
It's just Clementine alone
on her head.
Clementine's imagining this family.
Well, but how do you guys feel about Kate when like they made the big thing? It's like where Kate's like, "Oh, I'm the stepmom that the angsty teen doesn't like," and I'm like, I felt that was a little tropey. Did anyone else?
Oh, it was
get
definitely
that?
Tropey. It was tropey.
I mean, it was like,
you're not my you're not my real mom during the zombie apocalypse.
I'm like,
there are no real moms in the zombie apocalypse.
No, yeah, that all goes out the window.
You saw your grandpa eat your grandma.
Yeah,
move for real. On.
Right.
It's like bigger problems than candy bars and stepmoms that don't get you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. No, that's, yeah, I noticed that too. There were a couple parts I was pinched at.
And
I was like,
And Javi lost his water bottle. Oh no. They mentioned
Javi. I know. He was
so naive.
He was very sad about that water bottle. But yeah,
you got your niece batteries out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you also
And then she got shot in the head.
Oh man. Okay. Well, so like rewinding a bit, guys.
Yeah.
So really quick, like to go over the important choices. Keep going. So like leaving with, did you guys go with Trip or Eleanor at Prescott? Did you decide? Eleanor, this doctor chick, right? Like, you talked to her for maybe five sentences. I flirted with her.
I did too.
Of course.
Already flirted with Kate, so I'm like, I'm not gonna.
Oh, see, I didn't
be that guy.
No, I did not flirt with Kate.
I flirted with Kate as well.
But anyway, so I flirted with the doctor, and then she's like, you know, which I'm guessing she's like this with everyone, guys. Or in any situation, she was like, hey, let's, like, she approaches Javi after only having like a few sentences of conversation with him and help, you know, and, you know, putting some salve on him, on his wound.
You know, 4x4 and 2 stereo strips.
Putting the lotion on his skin.
And, you know, and she wants to escape with him. She's like, tonight, like, she tries to get him to leave that night with her, like, and Clementine. Or but at the same
time, Clementine the killer has already come back to like talk to her, and she's already knows what happened, and then she's like, yeah. Oh, I'll get you guys out of here.
That was exactly it. She could get Javi and Clementine out of there, or you could wait until the morning to go with Trip, who Trip was like, I can go with you, I can escort you in the daylight where there's less zombies. Or you could have went with Eleanor.
So before that, because you guys said it, you guys told the truth after that Clementine shot the guy.
Yeah.
So in the choices it says, does that mean you guys didn't get locked up?
Correct.
Right.
No, we didn't get locked up. We just go straight to getting aid.
Okay, so that's interesting, because to me, my whole concept of Eleanor and stuff is different because I lied and sided with Clementine. I was thrown into jail with Clementine.
Yeah.
Yep. And detention.
Yeah, and so you're kind of in detention in prison, and Trip is just like, hey, that guy was a jerk. I'll send someone to come patch you up. And so Eleanor comes to you while you're both in prison, and she's patching you up. And so she's like, I can get you out of this prison to help your people. And so to me, that made more sense. Like she's like just being helpful, rather than apparently for you guys, she just came up to you out of the blue and was like, hey, let's escape.
Well, she was helping your wounds.
You're hot.
And let's you were talking about it and flirting and having the option to flirt with her. And she might be thirsty during the zombie apocalypse. So.
Okay.
And I'm like, there's like 30 people here.
All right.
Where are the doctor? Yeah. And you want to just be like,
where is me?
It's away like, with me, Javier.
Yeah. We're just in a prison.
But you had the option to call yourself debonair.
Yeah.
I guess I did.
Yes.
I didn't get that option.
So. No. So, I mean, point being, so that does make a lot more sense, Jonathan, because, I mean, like, probably the amount of conversation was the same between the two, but, like, her coming to you in prison and being like, I can help you out of here makes a lot more sense than just being like, hey, I can get you out of here to help your people tonight. Okay, like, I'm okay. I'm sitting right here, like, not bound up or anything. Like, I'm not
also, there's feeling still the oppressed. Outside.
Right, I'm not feeling oppressed or anything. I can wait until the morning with Trip.
But you're worried about your family.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean...
If you spent, like, the past...
Worried about your family and then leaving at night where this hurt is worse. Where there's
and I don't know where
you
can't I am.
See, you don't know where you are. Exactly. And I trusted Tripp's stature more than I did Eleanor.
I've seen Tripp use a firearm.
Exactly. Exactly. Eleanor could have been a great fighter, but I didn't see that.
I do wonder.
Yeah, but what if your family's injured? Tripp's not a doctor. They're EMT.
That's something they should have presented as an option.
We would at least have been there. We might not have gotten there with Eleanor.
True.
I chose to
go with Trip because A, not enough information from Eleanor. I don't know you from Adam.
Right.
I don't know where you're coming from aside from the lonely aspect. Yeah. So I might be jumping from the frying pan into the fire here. And these people haven't killed me yet, but they may if I decide to split with you and take the doctor with them. So
right.
It's like,
yeah,
we're to play it safe.
Yeah,
that's kind of what my thinking. I'm like, I'm already kind of in jail, and a Trip was being nice and be like, hey, I'll just keep you here until morning so I won't get any crap from everybody else. He's like, but then I'll take you over there. So I was like, this seems a lot less risky.
Yeah.
But I do wonder, go back to like just how strange Eleanor's conversation was for you guys.
Yeah.
Is that with that choice? It says, like, that was the popular choice I did, was, like, just lie and get thrown in jail with, it's, like, 94.3% of players got locked up with Clementine, and then, like, then you guys is, like, 5%, you were allowed to roam free.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it's, like, I wonder if, did they, like, write it, like the reason it made more sense when you were locked up is because like that's where they You think they planned on that being like that being the popular choice?
They expected you, this is my problem with playing as Javier, is they expect you to make decisions that Clementine wants you to make mm-hmm. because you have this history with Clementine. But Javier has zero history with Clementine. Yep. And if I'm playing true to who I think Javier is based on who I'm seen, I continually make decisions that are upsetting Clementine.
Then
it goes back into it's no kind of like, why even play as Javier then? It's like either go all in or I went with Trip.
Trip or flip. So your final big choice was you go back to the junkyard. I think it was during that trip that Clementine wasn't that during the trip that Clementine had her flashback, right?
Yes.
And then
she holds up her hand and looks at her finger and it's gone.
Oh no. And
not
so
my playthrough.
you get to the junkyard and things look a mess. You find the Walkman on Mariana's Walkman on the ground and find Mariana. And then find Kate and what is the son's name? Is it AJ? AJ. No, it's not AJ. I don't know what the son's name is or what the boy's name is.
Was it Gabe?
Angst.
I think what? Gabe is.
I think it was Gabe.
Gabe. Okay. We'll call him Angst.
And so you find everyone, and then all of a sudden, junkyard men start shooting at you.
Wait. But did anyone kiss Kate?
Oh no!
I kissed Kate. I was kind of upset.
I kissed Kate. No. I mean, I turned down Eleanor because I got Kate. So
I flirted with Eleanor and then made out with Kate.
No.
Wow, dog.
No, I don't know. I just
yeah. I'm not there. Like Kate,
my Javier is loyal.
After flirting with Eleanor, I was like, I probably shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I don't feel like.
I was thinking, it's like in The Patriot, where Mel Gibson like marries his sister-in-law,
because the whole world was crumbling around.
Her aspiring to The Patriot now. Great, great.
It's a good movie.
So the shootout happens, as that starts happening, it starts happening because all of a sudden Mariana gets shot in the head, falls to the ground. So going off of that really quick, like, what do you guys think about? Like, did you think that was, because really, Javi's family didn't really have that much of a purpose, unfortunately. They didn't serve that much of a purpose at all, except to be tropey, and to like even Mariana was a little like the nice innocent younger sister.
Who just wants the candy bar.
There was no personality to really. I mean, kind of maybe to Kate, but not really. Yeah, Jonathan. No, I was just going to say Mariana's shot. And so what do you guys think?
I don't know. Personally,
they should have just called her MacGuffin.
Jonathan, what were you saying?
I personally, it's like, I mean, I've played too many games where the angsty teen lives. I'm just like, I thought it would have been interesting to just have like the innocent girl next to Clementine, the rest of the game.
Yeah, but we had that last game too.
We saw how well that worked out last time.
Magdalena, what's her name? Is it Magdalena?
Mariana.
Mariana. She seems a little more stable than what's her name for the last game.
Hey.
I feel like.
She had issues. She had problems.
Well, that's her dad's fault.
Okay, so talking about Mariana and not season two, guys.
I had such high hopes for Mariana.
I mean, I still, I mean, like, I at first I was like, there's the shock value of her getting shot. But then as soon as like she got shot, I was like, oh, of course she got shot. Of course she was the one that they right. just like shoot for the shock value.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
Damn you, Telltale, you did it to me again.
I mean, if they had done that to like Kate, I felt like that would have been like, especially if I just like kissed her and it's like, boom, okay, she's dead. She's definitely gone, you know?
Yeah.
That would have been a little bit more
powerful.
I would have forgiven that one more than this one, which is just like, thank you, Lam, for being here. Please lay your head down on the
mm-hmm.
block.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What this felt
yes.
like.
Yeah. Yeah.
One less character to write in the next episode.
Exactly.
Being a semi-innocent teen in Telltale is not a good track record.
No.
Duck.
No.
I feel like
from season one, like, the girl from season two.
Yeah. Telltale tends to go and just kill off a character for storyline purposes. Like, I understand that it's part of the zombie apocalypse, but a lot of times it's not a zombie killing a person.
Well, no, because it's not just about zombies killing people. It's about people killing people as well.
Yeah.
But the show does that as well. A lot of times it seems to be like,
oh, we're going to go and kill a person at the end of this chapter to go and move along the storyline. It's like, you don't have to kill people just to move your story along.
Well, also considering this storyline, like, it was already moving along. You rescued them.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it...
You could have just been attacked and had to rush back.
You could have had them just get injured.
Yep.
For a second,
you didn't have to go boom headshot.
Because I did too. When Kate ran over and then Caleb ran over, I was like,
yes, yes. And
this
Javi,
is it. My entire family is going to get picked
exactly.
off.
Exactly. And Javi was like, no, don't. Like, I think Kate went running. He was like, no, don't. And then Gabe went running, and I was like, oh god. You're all gonna
time get... for me to go running.
I mean, Kate got shot. Kate got shot in the side, which brings in. The final decision of that you could either stay and fight with Clementine, you could stay and fight the junkyard junkers across the way, or you could leave with the family and go back to take your family back to Prescott. So what did everyone choose?
I ditched Clementine. I'm loyal.
I chose to stay with Clementine because I looked up what happens in the for next.
That's cheating.
I went with my family. I left Clementine for the diversion and what, because that's the whole reason you're there at the junkyard, for your family. So it's like,
I was afraid they're just gonna keep probably
gonna overrun you anyway. So,
you know, they'll just follow you to Prescott, you know, because Clementine's not gonna be able to. I mean, I wouldn't expect her. She might hold them off by herself, but I felt that was a little unfair to her since she was kind of, it wasn't necessarily her fight, honestly.
I also already shafted her before by getting her yelled at by Trip. So.
Sure. Well, yeah. I stayed with her.
Well, I mean, Clem did, you know, she did chop down a tree to steal their truck. She probably would have killed that guy. I mean, I think she already had grudges against these people anyways.
Sure, but it was also Javi's fight as well.
And you also kind of screwed her because, hey, you don't have the van anymore. To give to her, which is why she was helping you in the first place.
Yeah, maybe now she'll forget about that. Nope. If you stay and help her.
Or if you leave her, she won't be around to ask for another van.
So if you decide to stay with Clementine, the fight continues. And it's chapter one. So chapter one ends out with they throw a grenade, I think. It almost seems like
some sort
flash
of pipe
grenade.
Bomb.
The junkyard junkers throw it over to Clementine and Javi. You could throw the grenade back or not. I threw the grenade back and it exploded, and then that was the end of the chapter. You didn't see what happened. I don't know what happened if you didn't throw the grenade back, or I mean, I figured you should probably do something with the grenade because it was sitting between you and Clementine. That was just my first thought. But if you don't, what happened if you went back to the town?
I think it just ends with you getting in the car and driving away.
You yell at Kate to don't where, leave you. Yeah. 100% effective clinical trials, like, BT to have you.
Yeah, like Kate's like passing out, and so you're
do
like,
you leave do you leave the body behind of Mariana?
Yeah.
Because I mean, what? Why carry around
dead weight?
Yeah.
Oh.
Too soon.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Is there anything else you guys want to discuss about this chapter that we didn't cover before we close out? Okay, well then. So next week we are talking about chapter 2, of course. So the continuation. So that's what we'll be talking about next Tuesday. Also this month, our month chat that we'll be discussing on November the 6th is The Longest Journey, Dreamfall. Now, for those of you unaware, our month chats are games that don't really fit well in the weekly, it's hard to break them up in weekly chunks. So they're a little bit longer. So we take a day a month to to discuss these longer games. So this month's game is The Longest Journey, Dreamfall, which is the second game in the Longest Journey series. So we'll be discussing that November the 6th. Again, thank you guys for being here in the chat. Definitely appreciate talking about these things with you. You can find us at thegamechat.net, as well as on Instagram and Twitter at thegamechat. Our podcasts are available on Google Play, Stitcher, as well as iTunes. You can also find us on Facebook, as well as Discord. We're pretty much everywhere. So again, thanks, and I will chat with you guys next week. Bye.
Alrighty.
Bye.
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 Bye.